afternoon. It's 4:30 and 77 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanna Akers.
I'm Cody Robinson.
They'll stop and they'll see this marker and they will be aware of the fact that there is gay history here.
The first historical markers commemorating Kentucky's LGBTQ community were unveiled today.
Kentucky's Attorney General announced that he will investigate the Water District in Martin County.
Eastern Kentucky Disability Attorney Eric Kahn will serve 15 additional years for escape-related charges.
The city of Maysville is once again designated as Main Street America.
Moorhead now has two locations for disposal of American flags.
In sports, Moorhead State's baseball team is reflecting on a successful season.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Clear skies tonight with a low around 50 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear announced today his office is taking a new look at the Martin County Water District. The utility has been under investigation by the Public Service Commission for over 2 years, probing into the district's history of problems with water quality and loss. Beshear, however, is launching his own independent investigation, which will be conducted by his office's Criminal Division and Office of Rate Intervention. In a statement released this afternoon, Beshear said his office would cooperate with the PSC, but would also look at the utility's past and present management and operations. Three groups of concerned citizens in Martin County collectively requested the investigation.
Disbarred Kentucky Attorney Eric Kahn has pleaded guilty to 3 additional charges following his escape from the country, and he will serve an additional 15 years in prison. Kahn was recently sentenced to 12 years in prison for a $550 million Social Security scheme involving elected officials and thousands of unsuspecting disability clients. However, an international escape to Central America, followed by a dramatic capture 6 months later, has proved Kahn's road to justice has been a long and twisted one. According to WKYT, he will now spend 27 years in prison. Kahn received an additional 5 years in prison for 3 charges. He pleaded guilty to conspiracy to escape, conspiracy to defraud the government, and conspiracy to retaliate against a witness today in Lexington. Kahn will be formally sentenced September 7th, and he will remain in custody until then.
The attorney for Joe Burchett says the Boyd County jailer wouldn't receive a fair trial in his home county. WMKY's Jacob Lindberg reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, Scott White filed the motion requesting a change of venue in the case accusing Burchett of malfeasance. The motion alleges Burchett would not receive a fair trial due to media coverage of the jailer's case and the Boyd County Detention Center, as well as public comments by elected officials. White's argument suggests the trial move to Rowan County. He says Moorhead is close enough to not be an inconvenience, but is far enough away to cure prejudice from pretrial publicity. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
A Greenup County man has been arrested after an undercover drug investigation. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, 63-year-old Leonard Lester of Russell is facing 3 charges of first-degree trafficking of a controlled substance. Authorities say they seized drugs, multiple vehicles, and thousands of dollars in cash from Lester's residence. Lester is scheduled for arraignment in Greenup District Court on June 6th.
One woman has died after a weekend crash in Lexington. WKYT reports the crash late Saturday night killed 26-year-old Natasha Lee and injured 3 other people. Police say a driver lost control and overcorrected after another car swerved into their lane. Authorities say alcohol was not a factor in the crash. The cause of the crash is still under investigation.
Lexington police arrested a man over the weekend after he almost caused a crash driving drunk. According to WKYT, police say they spotted 26-year-old Ignacio Garcia driving in the middle of Alexandria Drive just after noon Saturday. Police say a car had to swerve off the road to avoid Garcia. They say he nearly hit a police car as well. When he was stopped, police say they found 6 open beer cans in the vehicle. Garcia is charged with wanton endangerment, fleeing from police, and operating a vehicle under the influence.
A 12-year-old boy who was hit by a train last Friday is still in critical condition. According to WYMT, deputies in Laurel County say the investigation is still ongoing. It's unclear how the child got away from his home. Deputies said the train hit him along the track near Robinson Creek Road in Laurel County. The boy is currently at UK Medical Center.
The first historical markers commemorating Kentucky's LGBTQ community have been unveiled. More from WUKY's Karen Czar.
Jonathan Coleman is with the Faulkner Morgan Archive, one of the groups who helped make the markers possible. He told LEX18 that this is a growing sign of the importance of LGBTQ history in this state.
It's important to draw attention to this history because it has so often been hidden, right? This is a story where discretion meant survival.
Both markers are in Lexington. One commemorates the 1992 state Supreme Court decision that decriminalized homosexuality in this state. The other recognizes the oldest continuous LGBTQ gathering place in Kentucky.
LGBTQ Kentuckians have been gathering here maybe as early as 1939. So it's a long, long history.
The markers were sponsored by a nonprofit dedicated to equality, Just Fund Kentucky, and the Faulkner Morgan Archive, which has cataloged Central Kentucky's LGBTQ history. Reporting from Lexington, I'm Karen Czar.
Amazon announced this afternoon that it will hire 600 full-time positions for its Lexington fulfillment operations. According to LEX 18, the company will host a hiring event from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on June 9th at its facility on 172 Trade Street. Prospective employees also can get hiring information at the company's website. Job candidates attending the event will receive a tour of the facility.
The Kentucky National Guard is deploying soldiers to New Mexico to support the Department of Homeland Security border security mission. According to WKYT, the five soldiers will provide aviation support so more Border Patrol officers can work in the field. According to Colonel Dwayne Lewis, the brigade has provided aviation support for both Operations Jumpstart and Phalanx in years past and is prepared to provide the necessary aviation expertise to continue border missions today. That's a direct quote from Colonel Dwayne Lewis. The Kentucky National Guard says the soldiers will not perform law enforcement or interact with anyone detained by DHS.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, keeping our community a safe and enjoyable place to live and work while moving forward in a progressive but responsible manner. County services include the detention center, road department, ambulance service, and animal control. In addition, funding for the airport, parks and recreation, economic development council, and other community organizations provided under the guidance by the elected officials of the Rowan County Fiscal Court.
The head of the Moorhead Rowan County Economic Development Council says it was a thrill to attend last Friday's groundbreaking for Brady Industries' $1.3 billion aluminum plant at the East Park Industrial Center. Bob Helton believes the mill, which is slated to open in 2020 and eventually employ 550 people, is the kickoff for a lot of major economic development in eastern Kentucky. He says while the Brady plant is being built in Greenup County, Rowan County could be a favorite to get one of the dozen supplier factories the company plans to build in the region.
When you look at the location now where they are in East Park, they're literally a mile off the interstate at East Park, which is 45 interstate miles from the MMRC park here in Moorhead. So the logistics couldn't be better for locations.
Helton adds the fact that hundreds of people attended last Friday's groundbreaking should serve as encouragement to other companies considering investments in eastern Kentucky.
Maysville Mayor David Cartmell is pleased his city has again received a Main Street America designation. The U.S. cities on that list are determined annually by the National Main Street Center and the Kentucky Main Street Program. Cartmell says being a part of that roll call has helped Maysville earn several grants for its downtown revitalization efforts, along with a great deal of out-of-state investment in its central business district.
We're having folks from California and Florida buy downtown properties here. And I think one of the selling points is that we've taken care of our property and we've left the charm. And one of the mantras is, you know, without the center city, there is no city. And we kind of believe that.
Cartmell points out that Maysville has been a part of the Main Street America program for 35 years. To earn that designation, a city must demonstrate a strong commitment to preservation-based economic development and community revitalization.
Moorhead now has two locations for those looking to dispose of their old U.S. flags. While there's been a receptacle located outside of the American Legion Hall off Kentucky 32 north of the city for several years, a new bin has been placed inside the Rowan County Courthouse. Danny Knipp is with the Rowan Veterans Association. Knipp says there are key reasons why Old Glory isn't meant to be tossed in the trash once its service life ends.
Respect for the red, white, and blue. Patriotism being the key word here. I'd like to add two more words. That's respect for responsibility. We owe respect to the red, white, and blue, and it is our responsibility to fly properly and then also to dispose of it properly.
There are two recommended ways for disposing of a worn-out U.S. flag. First, in a ceremonial burning or by folding it properly, placing it in a wooden box, and then burying it. Local veterans groups generally handle both those duties.
A food pantry in Lewis County is asking for assistance. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
Tollsboro's Lending a Helping Hand food pantry helps provide food to the less fortunate. According to the Ledger Independent, much of its supplies are donated by members of the community, local churches, and other food pantries. However, the president of the organization, George Calvert, wishes the community's participation was in greater numbers to help fill the pantry with donations. Calvert says LHH has been serving the community for almost 16 years, and around 300 families a month are assisted by the group. The food pantry accepts several items for donation, including clothes, furniture, dishes, food, and other commodities. For more information or to donate, contact Calvert at 606-798-2113. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Pikeville Medical Center has laid off 130 employees. The layoffs were effective last Friday. Pikeville Medical Center CEO Donovan Blackburn says most of the employees had support positions. He told WYMT the majority were hired back in 2016 when the hospital added about 600 new employees.
So what happened is in 2016, we had the best year we ever had at the end of the fiscal 16 year. But in 2017, we had the worst year that we ever had.
He says the hospital overhired and has been losing money. As it plans to begin a $27 million expansion this summer, only 130 of those 600 employees hired back in 2016 will remain.
Taking a brief look at your weather forecast for the week. Tonight, clear with a low around 53 degrees. Tuesday, patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 81. Tuesday night, a chance of showers between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m., partly cloudy with a low around 58 and a 30% chance of rain. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 76. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 53 degrees. Thursday, sunny with a high near 82. And Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 60 degrees. Temperatures in the listening area are 76 degrees in Flemingsburg, 78 degrees in Lexington, 79 degrees in Ashland, 77 degrees in Winchester, 79 degrees in Inez, and 77 degrees here in Moorhead.
On our feature segment today, the Mason County Public Library will be getting a new director later this year. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has the story.
So everything I've done in my life has prepared me for this wonderful opportunity.
Steve Parrott has accepted the opportunity to be Mason County Public Library's new director and will begin training on June 11th. The military veteran and former special education teacher currently works as a public service professional at the Richland Library in Columbia, South Carolina. Parrott says he is very excited to be in Kentucky.
I've always always loved Kentucky. I was stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, spent time at Fort Knox. I only used to vacation in Kentucky, and I said, you know what, that's the state for me. And so I just started applying, and lo and behold, Mason County said, we'd like to have you, and I'm grateful for that.
With more than 10 years of experience working in libraries, Parrott believes he has the skills to direct the library effectively. Parrott began working with libraries in South Carolina.
So I spent about 9 years with the local library down here in South Carolina and did just about everything you could do in a public library. I had 6 different offices, had several different positions, got to do a lot of different things, so it was a really good experience.
From there, Parrott moved to East Tennessee.
A county city library in East Tennessee said, hey, we'd like to have you. And they were a much larger library and kind of needed the same thing, reorganization, revamping, and a lot of changes that they needed to make. And so I accepted that position and did that for actually 17 months before returning back here to South Carolina to the very large library in Columbia, South Carolina.
Parrott also believes being a library director is more than just an office job.
I came from restaurant management before I went into the military. I work with the employees side by side. I get to know them. I want them to get to know me. I'm not going to sit in an office and have them guessing at what I'm doing. I'm going to be out there at the checkout desk helping them do what they do and anything else, getting into the stacks, doing the collection management, collection development. I do all those things because I've done all those things, and that's what I love to do.
With the rise of the internet and the digital age, libraries and the purposes they serve have changed significantly. These changing dynamics is something Parrott is fully aware of.
It's not a house of books anymore like it used to be. Now it's a place where people can gather as a community, where they can see things, do different things, have programming. And so I need their ideas. I need their input. And I'll tell you, having patrons and then volunteers, you've got to use those people and get their ideas. They are the resource because it's their library.
Parrott will be replacing the current director, Valerie Zemter, once she retires in September. He says that he hopes to take advantage of all the advice and help Zemter has to offer.
Rely upon somebody who's been there and knows the ins and outs. The library I came from in East Tennessee, the lady who had been the interim director had been there for 35 years, and I just really relied upon her and trying to gain as much knowledge and experience that I could from those people. So I'll do the same thing with Valerie. I'll just try to be a sponge and grab all I can before she heads out.
As for Zemter, she has confidence that Parrott is an excellent replacement.
I think he'll be a great replacement. He seems to be very organized, he's got a lot of energy, and he seems to have a very positive outlook. And all those things are going to come in really handy.
For WMKY, I'm Logan Pemberton.
It's 447 and 77 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're so glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
The Eagles reflect. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire is reflecting on his team's successful 2018 campaign. After winning the OVC championship, McGuire's Eagles ended their season with a 37-26 record after NCAA tournament regional losses over the weekend to 5th-ranked Clemson and 40-15 St. John's.
It's hard when it's end of the year, turn the uni time in, and none of us want to see that happen, especially when you have a good club and a group you like to coach, group you like to come to the ballpark with every day. But I said, there's a lot worse places to see the season come to an end than in a regional.
The Eagles are losing 6 key seniors to graduation, infielders Eli Bogus and Braxton Morris, DH Tyler Neiman, and pitchers David Calderon, Kyle Cantu, and J.C. Hatcher. The OVC baseball tournament appears to be headed for a different location next spring. After being held the last couple of years in Oxford, Alabama, Morehead State Athletic Director Brian Hutchinson says the conference's ADs last week in Nashville recommended the tourney be held in someplace else.
The tournament for the next 2 years will be in Marion, Illinois at Rent One Park. I believe it's a single-A park, kind of located on the western edge of our conference, but certainly centrally located to a number of our member institutions. And so So it'll move over there for a couple of years, and the idea being that hopefully we can have a rotation of acceptable stadiums throughout the footprint, including in the east where we're located.
The recommendation by the OVC's athletic directors must still be approved by the league's president's council. The Cincinnati Reds have today off before opening a home set tomorrow against Colorado. Sitting at 21-39 after yesterday's 6-3 loss in San Diego, the Reds have the National League's second-worst record. The highlight for the past month for interim manager Jim Riggleman's team, though, has been the hitting of second baseman Scooter Gennett and third baseman Eugenio Suarez.
They've really been good. We just get an extraordinary amount of offense from our infield, and, you know, we're going to have to pick it up in some other parts of the lineup because those guys are carrying us. And, you know, we just got to get some more spots hot, and hopefully those two will stay hot.
Gennett ranks second in the NL with a .342 batting average. Suarez's 44 RBIs ranks him second in the league. One score from baseball this afternoon, the Yankees beat Detroit 7-4 in game one of their doubleheader today. The second game is at 7:10. A local high school star has reeled in a familiar award. WMKY's Greg Jenkins reports on that.
East Carter pitcher Montana Fouts has been named the Kentucky Gatorade Player of the Year. It is the third consecutive year she has won the award. The senior this season has posted a perfect 30-0 record on the mound with a 0.04 ERA. She also has 383 strikeouts to go along with 11 no-hitters and 7 perfect games. It adds to what has been a historic career for Fouts. With nearly 2,000 strikeouts, she has the most in KHSAA fast pitch history. With 143 wins currently, she is also the state's all-time leader in wins for a career. Fouts will look to add to that wins total starting on Thursday when East Carter visits Owensboro to open up the state softball tournament against Butler. Fouts is currently committed to Alabama in the fall. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
With Stanford grad transfer Reed Travis still on the market and Kentucky considered to be the favorite to land the 6'8 forward, the Wildcats' 2018 recruiting class isn't finished just yet. However, a member of the 2019 class is already recruiting other top players to join him in Lexington. Five-star point guard Tyrese Maxey is committed to Kentucky, and he says he's working hard to get fellow five-stars to pick UK as well.
My pitch is we can all do something special. We can get together and do something special. And I feel like I've been playing with some of these guys or playing against some of these guys for a long time. It'll be cool to finally come together and play with each other and try to build something special.
With Maxey, Ashton Hagans, and DJ Jeffries already committed for 2019, the Wildcats currently have the number one ranked class. However, Hagans, who is the only point guard ranked ahead of Maxey in 2019, is expected to reclassify to 2018 and join Kentucky for the upcoming season. One other note from college basketball, Auburn has given head coach Bruce Pearl a contract extension. The new deal runs through the 2023 season and is worth $14 million. Auburn went 26-8 last season and snapped a 15-year NCAA tournament drought, beating College of Charleston in the first round. However, the program is involved in the FBI's investigation into college basketball and had one of its assistants, Chuck Persons, arrested as a result. There won't be much of a summer break for Morehead State's football players. Coach Rob Tenier says a number of them will be spending that time on campus taking classes and working out.
We anticipate probably couple dozen guys during the month of June, and then probably over 60 of our current players and a few freshmen during the month of July. So we're excited about the commitment of the team, and be great having a lot of guys here during the summer months.
The MSU football team's freshmen report for summer training camp on July the 31st, with the veterans checking in the next day. The Eagles' 2018 opener is August the 30th at Eastern Kentucky. Finally, in sports, Justify gets a final tune-up as he prepares for the final leg of the Triple Crown, the Belmont Stakes. Paul Miles reports on that.
After watching his Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner put in one final work at Churchill Downs, trainer Bob Baffert declares Justify ready for Saturday's Belmont.
He's a seasoned horse now. He's had those five races, so now he knows. I can just tell he's more professional. He's been shipped around, been in these races, been in some tough fights. Handles it well.
Justify has tried to become the 13th horse to win the Triple Crown. He could face as many as 10 challengers in the Belmont, including Bravazo, Hofberg, and Gronkowski. I'm Paul Miles.
That's a look at sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host a father-child camp on June 9th, an Eagle Day camp June 11th through the 14th, and Morehead State team camp June 22nd through the 24th. More information by calling the men's basketball office at 783-5140 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rose as Apple led the technology sector to a record high, with the Dow Industrials finishing with a gain of 178.48 at 24,813.69. The S&P 500 was up 12.25 at 2746.87. And as mentioned, the NASDAQ finished at a record closing high with a gain of 52.13 or 0.7% at 7606.46. And of course, the technology sector today was aided by good strength in both Apple and Amazon, which finished at all-time highs. And Microsoft also helped lift the NASDAQ as the stock was up 0.7% after announcing it was acquiring GitHub, a software developer platform, for $7.5 billion. The rise in retail stocks also boosted the major indices, with Walmart and Target rising 2.7% and 5.4% respectively. The Spider S&P Retail Exchange Traded Fund itself was up 2.25%. And the markets will be focused on the G7 meeting this week in Canada at a time when trade tensions between the U.S. and other key trade partners have increased. And, of course, last week the Trump administration slapped tariffs on steel and aluminum imports from both the EU and Canada. In the commodities markets today, oil was down 1.4%, finishing at $64.88 a barrel, while gold was down 0.25% at $1,296.10 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were relatively strong, with the Stock 600 index up 0.3%, so the worries in Italy last week largely being shrugged off by the markets at the moment. In Asia, stocks were very strong, with the Nikkei up 1.38% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1.7%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were Walmart and Merck, while your worst performers were GE and Chevron. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Under Armour and Target, while the worst performers were Nectar Therapeutics and Baker Hughes. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 84 cents at 79.02, CSX down 75 cents at 64.69, AEP down 63 cents at 66.05, AK Steel up 3 cents at 4.64, Marathon Petroleum up 3 cents at 81.95, and Community Trust Bank was up 20 cents to finish at 51.90. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. Located on Triplett Street near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for recyclables. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, an additional green trailer rotates among Elliottville, Farmers, Hayes Crossing, and the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moreheadrecycling.org.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, Post 8 of the Kentucky State Police will sponsor a Trooper Island golf scramble at Eagle Trace Golf Course in Morehead on Thursday, June 7th. Registration begins at 8 a.m. with a shotgun start at 9 a.m. Cost is $260 per team. Cart and lunch provided. Prize drawings and prizes for longest drive and closest to the pin. More information from Scott Farrell at 776-9474.
The Rowan County Arts Center will host a summer arts camp for children in kindergarten through 5th grade from 1 to 4 p.m. the week of June 11th through the 15th. Cost is $7 per day or $30 for the week. Supplies and snacks are provided. More information at 783-9857.
Going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Braxton Howard. WUKY's Karen Czar, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Logan Pemberton. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and Translator W202 VHNIS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.